This is January 12th in the year 2001, and this is Bob Gilgore interviewing Betty King at her home at 207 Oleander. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning, Bob.
Thank you for giving me some of your time. I appreciate that very much. And let's just get started with the first question. And I'll make it a broad question, and you can take it and talk for as long as you want. What I'd like to know is what it was like growing up here in Chapel Hill, if you did grow up in Chapel Hill. I don't know whether you did or not.
Yes, I did grow up in Chapel Hill, in Carrboro. Been here all my life. I just thought it was wonderful growing up in Chapel Hill because I knew nothing else, and it was just wonderful. And now that I do know other places, I find nothing like Chapel Hill. I love, still love Chapel Hill, Carrboro area. The community was small. At the time, the black community was small. You knew everybody. Streets didn't have names. You just knew where people lived. You had sections that had names. In Carrboro, there were very few blacks that lived in Carrboro. But then you had Sunset, which is over in the area where the Chapel Hill Housing Authority is over in that area. And then you had Pottersfield, which is over where that area too, over in Northside Elementary School and Church Street and Caldwell Street.
That was called Pottersfield.
And then you have the area down from the Chapel Hill. I think it's the Chapel Hill Car Wash. I can't remember the car wash.
Over the railroad track.
Over the railroad track was down there, yeah. And that was called Tintop.
Tintop.
Mm-hmm. That's where you do mostly. Okay. Then we had Southwest Lane, Mitchell Lane. They were all down, Southwest Lane was down for the laundry, Chapel Hill Laundry is down in that area. And Mitchell Lane was right off of Rosemary Street down, what's it right there, behind Fort George Tate. So those were the sections in the town.
Where did you live?
I lived in Cabo. On the other side of the railroad track, I lived in where there were probably about six black families in the area where I lived in Carrboro. And if you lived in Carrboro, you lived over where I later moved, you lived over like Lord and Broad Street, Carrboro. And but I lived at the time where Southern State is right over in that area.
Can you tell me about your parents and brothers and sisters?
My parents, just to tell you, I had older parents. My mother was 39 when I was born. And, of course, they had old ideas, old fashioned. I had two brothers. My mother had been married before. She was an Atwater. And she had two sons. Her husband died and she married my father, who was Ben Stewart. Her name is Ben. And my mother worked at night. She worked at the University of London. My father worked on campus as a janitor, and we never had a car. He rode bicycle. And my brothers, my youngest brother was 11 years older than I. And so I was mainly brought up as a only child because when they, when I was little, they had gotten married and moved out and had their own family. And everybody in the community, everybody around, was like one you just had. My father was a singer. He sang in a quartet. And since my mother worked at night, sometimes my brothers would stay home with me when my father was in practice. And then sometime I would have to stay with neighbors while I went to practice. So it was just a big family. I mean, you knew everybody in town. I mean, if somebody new came in town, you knew it right away. You didn't know. And I had friends the last name that got, oh, not as I got out of college, that would come to visit, and they would laugh because our phone bill was so small, they said it looked like a fire book because it was so small. And I've just seen Chapel Hill just grow by leaps and bounds. I've been Chapel Hill grow by leaps and bounds. Some of that school, some of my school, that's where I feel about it. What else you want? Can you see?
Yeah, sure. All right, I'll ask you some more specific questions. Did your parents talk about their work?
Oh, not too much. My mom would, she would go to work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, get off at 2. I remember that distinctly. We were in town, but we had a cow. And I was never so glad to see that cow get on that truck the last day and go away. You know, they sold the cow when they finally sold the cow. Because I had to churn. And I didn't mind churning in the summer. But in the winter, it was awful. I mean, it took forever for the butter to come. And my father and I guess, were really closer than my mother and I because we spent more time together because he was with me in the evening when she was going to work. And my mother with the laundry, I mean, sometimes she would talk about the laundry, talk about the bosses and what they expected. Sometimes she would feel things that they wanted them to do was unreasonable. And but other than that, she said no.
Did she work 5 days a week, 6 days a week?
5 days a week. 5 days a week. And, like in the summertime, she would sometimes get off early. Now, in summertime, sometimes the hours would change. Like sometimes in the summertime, she would work in the daytime instead of nighttime because they didn't have as much work in the summer as they did in the winter. And she walked to work. Walked from over across the river track all the way to the laundry, which is about over a mile, I know, well over a mile. And that's another thing, in school we had, if you lived in what we call town, if you lived in town, you could not ride school bus. You had to walk to school. So I walked from over where Southern State is all the way over to Northside School every That's when I was in I did that for about 10 years going there. And then I had to walk from Broad Street to Colbert, to Lincoln. That's down where the, on Mid-Mill Road, where the central office is now. So we didn't have to worry about weight and stuff. We just got out and walked through. But it was not, I mean, it was no burden to us because that's all we knew.
How did your parents discipline you?
Oh.
Or were you so good you didn't need to be disciplined?
Oh, well, I tell you, my father, I don't think ever really disciplined me. Only one time, I'll never forget this, he was really, really, truly upset with me. And let me say this about my father, I think. my father was very close to me, simply because he had no family. I had only two. There was only two of them, he and his brother. I never met the brother. The brother died before I was born. And his parents died when he was a child. And he was from Florence, South Carolina. He left home at a very early age. Went to Greensboro, and the Greensboro County Chapel. So therefore, yes, and I'll never, you asked me, like, how was the discipline? And it just one thing stuck out in my mind that I will never forget. My parents didn't really believe they were religious. They really didn't believe too much in going to the movie. And when my neighbor would carry me to the movie, like, every Saturday night. Everybody else in town went to the movie on Friday night. I went to the movie on Saturday night because I had to go with an adult. I just couldn't go. I didn't live because where I lived, there were very few kids where I lived. And so, and my mother wouldn't allow me to go anyway by myself. So I went on Saturday night. So they opened the movie on Sunday. They started having the movies on Sunday. I'll never forget, I went to church one Sunday, and my girlfriend said, come on, let's go to the movie. Knowing full well that my mother was not going to approve, not going to go, I said, I can't, because my mother won't let me. She said, you don't know until you ask her. So I asked her, and she said, no, I couldn't go. My father didn't go to church that Sunday. He was home. I knew, and they had this rule. Every which one of my asked, and what the one said, I didn't need to ask the other one because that was it. So I decided to be smart this day. I went home because he was home and she was still in church and that was up to. And I asked him that I go to. And he told me, yes, he was nothing wrong with it, that I could go. And asked me that I had money. And I had the money to go, so I went to the movie. But I did not enjoy that movie one bit because I knew I was going to get it when I got home. I knew that without a doubt. So when I got home, he told me he should spank me because, and the only reason he wasn't going to do it is because he told me to go. But he said I knew better than if my mother's always said no, than to come and ask him. Now that's the only time I can remember him getting very upset with me.
So you didn't get spanked?
I didn't get spanked then. He just spanked me. But my mother would tear me up now. I mean, she would, you know, things like, I guess telling stories was the worst thing I did, you know, that's what she did a lot of that, that she would catch me in the story. I get a switch, never belts or nothing, but a switch. And she never sent me out to my own switch, you know, like some parents would send kids after the switch. She never did that. She always got her own.
What about other people in the community? Did they discipline you also?
Oh, yes. I mean, it was just like the whole community with your parents. Because if you did something wrong and somebody in the community saw you do it, then that was, you were going to get scolded and everything from that person. And then when you got home, you were going to get it again. Because they were certainly tearing your parents off. So you had to be very careful. And like on Sundays, we had very little recreation in the area. But on Sundays, we would do Franklin's. Laughing, talking. Now the guys sometimes, they would get together, they would play ball and stuff, but the girls tend to just parade them down the street on Sunday. It was fun, you know, at that time it was fun. But I look back, I wonder how did I consider that fun, but it was fun at the time.
What kind of toys did you have to play with?
Oh, well, see, that's another thing. We, in this little community where I lived on the Foster Railroad track, there were four houses. there was a boy named Burton. Down below there was a guy named Jane Julian. And then there was a house next beside me where there was Lena and Lala and John and Jane Edward. In fact, everything over there on that hill actually were Atwaters except out there. And then part of them were Atwaters because my brother had two brothers that were Atwaters. And they would make, now, we would make toys. We didn't, you know, our parents didn't have money to buy toys and stuff. So we would make a jumping board where you just put a board down and put a rock or something under there and jump on one, you know. And then we'd play hopscotch. Then we've had a thing they made something called a merry-go-round where they would station something in the ground and have it up and then put a, I guess, a wedge between the thing. Then you push the people around. And so that's usually what we did. We made our own toys.
did your parents get along well?
Oh, they did. Yes, I didn't know anything about, as I told you, I lived a sheltered life because my parents, they didn't argue, they fussed and go on. My mother always had this fussy voice, though. She was a, they said the Baldwins all have that voice. She was a Baldwin, and you have that fussy voice. And, you know, she was kind of in charge. I mean, she, what she said went, you know, that kind of thing.
So did she run the household, or was it run by both father and mother?
It was run by both of them, but she was kind of, you know, I don't know, she was kind of in charge. I still say they were kind of in charge.
Who ran the finances?
They both did, but I think she did most, I mean, I think he would give her the money to pay the bills and that kind of stuff. Yeah, he had bills of his own that he paid because he didn't get that money to pay the majority of the people.
Was there any drinking in the household?
No, neither one of my parents drank.
Did you see
my brother, wait, let me explain. Neither one of my parents drank, but both of my brothers did. And my baby brother, he was what I found out later on, they call him periodic drinker.
Binge drinker.
They call it periodic because he would, what he would do, he would, well, I guess the same thing with binge. He would go, you know, he would drink and then he would go a long time. But when he drank, 9 times out of 10, he was going to stay off at least a week. For work.
How old was he at the time?
Oh, hell, I guess, I mean, I don't know. Well, see, at this time, he was, you know, I don't know how old he was at that time, but still, he kept doing that all until his adult life, I mean, to his middle age, like.
But he wasn't, I mean, he wasn't a teenager.
No, he wasn't a teenager, not at this time, no. But he did this, well, he married very young. I mean, I'm trying to think. He married very young. He had 10 children. And, but the people that he worked for, and I tell you who he worked for, and he worked 12 for years, and they had many guys that were so good to the family and everything. He worked for Fitch. Well, I'm a country. And he worked for Fitch for years. And they knew. If he got on that bench, he's gonna stay on for at least a week, sometimes two. But he always had a job. It was never a threat.
So. And you called him your baby brother. Is he the one who's like 11 years older than you?
Yes.
You didn't have any brothers or sisters younger than you?
No.
You were the last.
I was the last. I was the last. They weren't expecting me. I can't even expect them.
You were a little surprised. Did you see alcoholism in the community at all?
Oh, I saw people drink, But I never saw, I never saw people in my community. I never saw people like fussing and fighting and going on. Now, I know that went on in some of the communities, but in where I live, the people, I guess because they were kind of, they were older. Just like I said, my mother was 39 when she had me, so they were kind of out of that growing up, like getting to be grown up, like whatever.
Their wild years.
Their wild years, I guess they had spent them already, you know. So I didn't.
What about broken homes in black communities? Did you see much absentee fatherism?
I didn't. Not in my community. And to be frank, in the community as a whole, in Chapel Hill, at that time, there were not many. I mean, if they were broken, they were broken when I met them. You know, like, not many people up and left home, if that's what you're talking about. You know, like they didn't know. I didn't get many pearls just separating, that kind of stuff. And when it was kind of rarity. And like in school sometimes that happened. I remember one family that I know of that happened. Their family broke up. The kids went with the mother left town. But not too much of that.
Were the streets paved where you lived?
No.
Did you have running water or sewer?
Oh, Lord. Now, we had, when I lived across the railroad track, I crossed it either way you go, but I'm talking about when I lived over near the Southern State, we had a community well, and we all used that well. We didn't have electricity. We all had lamps, and I could see, I mean, I had no trouble seeing until I moved we built, my parents built the home, and when they built the home, you know, we had electricity and all that, and so when I went back, because when we left from where we were living, my brother moved, and his family moved in the house we lived now. And when I would go back over there, it was so dark, it looked like a candlelight, you know. But the whole time I was there, it was fine. But when I went back, it was, you know. And then we had no plumbing or anything like that, so.
You had an outhouse?
We had an outhouse. Mm-hmm.
When did you move? Do you remember how old you were?
I was 11 years old when I moved from over there to the house my parents lived.
And where was that?
Elm Broad Street, behind Kentucky, by Chick, which wasn't there at all then, though. It was all of that place up there, all of the in Carbon, where you have Kentucky and you have Pete Foot and all of everything up there was residential at that time. It was not business. My uncle had a wood yard across over there. I guess right there where the body shop probably is now.
Or what did you call it?
Wood yard. In other words, he had a sawmill. Like he did the wood for the community.
Did you feel poor growing up?
No. I didn't know I was poor until they told me I was poor. I never felt poor, no. I always had plenty. I was always warming. And I never thought about it until it was really funny until everybody started talking about the privileged children and the pride. And I said, well, that was me, but I sure didn't know it. I sure didn't know it.
Do you look back on your childhood as a happy time?
Very. Very happy time. Very happy time. I don't know, just like I said, this whole, the whole community, the whole town, although we were spread it, come out. We still, it was just like a big family. Everybody knew everybody, and everybody, you know, just like a family. Of course, you know, like in families, you know, you push and fight sometimes. And that's what happened in school and stuff. But other than that, it was a very happy time.
Was the church a big part of your
life? Oh, yes. Church, we had church every, I didn't go once a week, though. And that was on Sunday, but then I was there. I went to morning, Sunday school morning service, and then back in the evening. Most of them went to church.
Did you have friends in the black community and the white community, or were your friends all in the black community?
No. See, as I said, when I lived over across the railroad track in Copper, the biggest part of Copper, I had white friends because that's all was around me was white. And mainly, and we played together, we fought together, we, you know, it was just, and see, my mother came from the rural area, and at that time, a lot of the people in Copper were rural too. They came from the rural area, and they knew each other. They had worked together in fields and stuff, and they knew each other when they came, and so there was no problem. Now, there was now, there are always going to be some people that are cruel, and there was a store, Mr. Tank Hunter. They called it Tank Hunter. He had a daughter named Betty Hunter. I don't know if you knew her or not, but she ran a store. She had a store on Rosemary Street. And later years, she opened a store on Rosemary Street. Now, there were some people that lived in Cabo, whites, that were mean and called, you know, call your name and stuff. But then if they knew somebody, for instance, because I knew most of the people around me, they didn't bother me, but I saw them bother other people, other blacks.
Most of the white people around you got along okay with them.
Yeah. And see, and then... but then I did, when I guess I knew what got my first taste of segregation mainly was when I started the school.
Which school?
Now, I went to, it was Orange County Training School at that time. And that's over there where Northside is now, same building. Okay, the white school was where the town hall in Carver is. And that was right, no place from where I lived. But I couldn't go to that school. That's when I first found out, you know, that's when our friendships, you know, started to die, you know, like we kids would play with. It, I guess because we didn't have that much in common anymore, they were going to a different school. And so that was when I got my first, because I couldn't understand why I couldn't go to school with the other kids. I didn't understand it, but so that was my first, I guess when I was 6 years old, was when it happened.
What was it like in Orange County Training School? What are your memories of the school there?
I enjoyed it. It was a plan. It was from first to 12th grade. I think it was when I first started, I think it was first to 11th grade. See, I didn't know much about the high school. The high school part was on the other end. But I think it was from the first to the 11th grade. I think it was like they added the 12th grade to the school. But, and I think that was one reason we knew everybody, because everybody went to the same school. if I went to the same school and you knew everybody. And I thought,
did you know the teachers?
Oh, yeah.
Where'd the teachers live?
They had, most of them had boarding houses. There were boarding houses around, people that kept the teachers. Different places, different homes that kept teachers. And at that time, you had to live where you taught. You didn't live here. And, I mean, you didn't teach here, live someplace else.
Did they go to the same church?
They went to church. It was not like on the weekend they could go home. I mean, where home was, they were home, I guess. And, they could go to the same church if you went to it.
Did they socialize with the parents in the community?
Not really.
No. Did the teachers make visits to your home?
Oh, yes. Even when I started teaching, we used to visit home.
Purpose of that?
To see what the family was like, to get close to the family, to make a connection, to let this is a child that we both share it, and they would talk about the needs of the child and all. So it was just to get a closeness, I guess, to the child, so the child would feel, that they were cared for. And so I thought it was, I tell you one thing, I think that when the teachers stopped having to live in the town and stopped visiting, I think that started becoming straining. It wasn't the closeness anymore because you didn't know each other. But see, when the teacher visited, the parents, then they got to know, get a little idea about what that person was all about, all that. And so I think when they stopped doing that, I think that started, that they weren't as close. But then it got to be so many people, it was almost impossible to visit, all your students. And that was done mostly in elementary school, not high school.
Can you tell me more about Orange County Training School?
Orange County Training School, you would not know it now, which is Northside. We had a pile of rocks. I don't know where the rocks came from. I never understood that. But on one side, one of the kids hadn't fallen and hurt his head and everything, but it was just rocks. That's where we all would have to play stuff. A pile of rocks. I mean, rocks were just every place. And we played on those rocks. And we just had a nice time. I mean, I don't know. I just enjoyed school. I enjoyed going to school. I didn't miss days out of school.
Did any of the students play hooky?
Oh, yeah. My brother stopped school, I think. I guess they were like in junior high when they stopped school.
Did you have an encyclopedia in your home?
I don't think so. I can't remember having one. Not when I was real young, but when I got older, I did. But when I was still young, no.
Did you have a dictionary?
School dictionary.
But not at home. And did your parents get the newspaper? Did they subscribe to a newspaper?
I don't think so. I can't remember who subscribed to the newspaper.
Were there books or magazines at home?
Yeah. Sometimes we get books. And sometimes we have papers at home too, because let me tell you, my father worked at the university, and he would, those classrooms, clean the classroom things. And sometimes there would be papers that he would put at home. He
still remember your teachers from Orange County Training School?
I remember. I just back in not back back in the fall. I just was one of them. She had to Rupo. I was up here. And I one teacher, Miss P. Dell Smith. She's there. That lives over there by here. She was my teacher. There's another one that's still alive that lives in Creekmore. It's Rogers, who is a superintendent. I guess I remember just about everyone.
Did you feel that they were your friend, or that they were for you, or that
they were my friends. They were for me. Help me. And they were almost just like, to me, they were like another set of parents, you know, just like, and they would help me. I appreciate it. And I knew that's what, that was my inspiration. I knew I wanted to teach. I knew that.
When did you find out you wanted to teach?
I think I always kind of had it in the back of my head, but I guess it was when I was really determined I wanted to teach with teacher Miss Wolf, Miss Davis. She was now Miss Wolf, but she's still alive, pretty and young. I mean, I wouldn't tell anybody she taught me, but but she's in down east right now. They gave her a award in Raleigh for her album. And we all went over there to see her, to see her award. So, but she came and she was just an inspiration to me. I mean, she was just really somebody I wanted to be like. And that's when I really decided that I really wanted.
What was the relationship of your parents with the teachers?
It was like a business relationship. I mean, it was not a, you know, it was like a business relationship, you know, like the boss or somebody, you know, like an employee or something. Like, they didn't socialize with them. But one, my principal, who lived on the same street that I lived on, and they were friends, you know, because they were on the same street. And that was the McDougals, you know the McDougals. That was the McDougals. They lived right down the street from us. And they were always, of course, but they still weren't like friends, like the next door neighbor, you know.
What about their relationship with teachers, say, when you would have parent-teacher meetings? Did they ever go to the school to have those meetings, or were they always in the mall?
Definitely. The only time that I can remember I can't even remember my father ever going. But, okay, it was understood. It was understood that by most kids, I know by myself, that when you went to school, that you had one purpose to go there for, and that was to learn. And they didn't want to hear anything that you misbehaved and stuff at school. And if they did, what you had to deal with is that if you misbehaved in school and your teacher got in touch with your parents, then you would get a double. You get it at school and you get it at home.
So you got a smacking at school.
Like at home, if I got one, you know. And
did they question the teacher as to what you had?
If they did, they didn't let me know it, you know. You know, like, I'm sure, like, you know, like, I guess my mother and father had to disagreements about a lot of things, but I never heard it, you know, that they chose to talk about it. They talked about it. So, and that, I know that's what it was about the teacher. And I had the same kind of attitude. See, my son was a, believe it or not, he was a Catholic school. Because I wanted him just getting away with it, which I knew in public school they did because I was teaching in public school, so I know they did.
So he went to school after integration? When did they change the name Orange County Training School to Northside and Lincoln?
When they built Lincoln. No, they changed, no, they changed, Orange County Training School, I think, I'm not really sure, but I think it was about 1949, 48, 49, somewhere along there. And that was because the parents, now we had some parents that that really were political. And, you know, that name Training School sounded like you were there for some kind of training, not to, you know,
not school.
Not school.
Or reform school, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. And so, and when the kids would go off to, see, I didn't play sports. I was in the band, but I never played basketball. So when they would go off, people would tease us about the name of the school, our school. And so the parents got together, and they, you know, they wanted their training taken out of their training school. And so that's when they changed it. About 48, 49, somewhere along there, they changed it to Lincoln High School.
At Northside?
No.
No, the whole school was Lincoln?
The whole school was Lincoln. See, because as I said, the plan was from first to 12th grade. Okay, now when it became Northside was when Lincoln was built. And the first graduating class from Lincoln was in 52.
So the school opened in the fall of 51, and they graduated in the spring of 52.
52, yeah. And that's when Northside became an elementary school. They changed the plan. That became an elementary school. Lincoln was from what, 7th to 12th. 7th to 12th. So the elementary school was 6th. And that's when Northside got its name.
And when did you start?
It was in, I was in second class to graduate in 53.
So were you there when it opened, 51?
Yeah.
So you were 10th or 9th grade then?
No, I was in the 11th grade when it opened.
Oh, that's right, because I got you. Well, what was Lincoln High School like? With Mr. McDougal, the principal, when it opened?
Yes. Yes. What was it like? I don't know, the same. It was not that much. I mean, the same people were there that you knew before. And, you know, just went to school. It wasn't like we went and met new people and stuff. So it was somewhat similar. Same thing, we, not as many people, but we knew everybody, we knew all the teachers, and, we never had, things that always bothered me, we never had lockers. It was dangerous for the people who had to come around the curve. You know, it's not as deep now, but if you know the curve that you come around on Merritt Mill Road, if you come around there, anyway, it got, I think it got killed, but maybe it did, somebody. And they kept trying to, I remember in PTA and stuff, they would always try to get the state, the town or somebody to put a sidewalk so the kids could actually to walk instead of walking in the street.
So you had to walk in the street to school?
I sure did. Unless you went through the woods like we did to make them shortcuts. But you had to walk in the street, yeah. And I think that was the thing, I think that was the one thing that really bothered me. I was working in the summer program, and when they decided, I don't know if you remember, when they decided to make the school that I was Lincoln, to make it a all sixth grade school, nothing but sixth graders went there, all from all over went to that school.
It's 65, 66.
Somewhere along
there. When they merged.
Yeah, somewhere along there, they made. Yeah, I don't think it lasted but a year or two at the most. That it was a sixth grade, all sixth grade school. But if you had seen, now I had gone to school there. Out of school, teachers at Lincoln had been teaching at Lincoln, and there was never any improvement. You know, same stuff. The year that they decided to make it an all sixth grade, you should have seen the pavement going down. You should have seen the lockers going out in the hall. Heretofore, they didn't have money. They couldn't do it. But when all the kids came down there to sixth grade,
white and black,
the lockers went up, the pavement went out. So, I mean, that was, of course, I didn't school board know it too, but my feeling, but that's what happened. And I mean, I had some very strong feelings about that.
Can you tell me about Mr. McDougal?
My brother. My friend.
that may have been after you graduated. How about when you were a student? Was he your buddy and friend then?
Yeah. I told you he lived down the street from me.
Uh-huh.
And so he was, you know, I just respected him, you know, but he was young. He was always, I don't know, I had a different something than a lot of kids had about teaching and things, too, because some of the teachers, like talking to your friend Ed, some of them that they just did, you know. But I hit it off with most of them. I really did. So I guess when you talk to different people, you get a different opinion about the teaching. But Mr. McDougal was always a friend of mine. And but let me tell you, I kind of got upset when I finished school. And I applied for a job at school. And he told me, have you ever heard that? He told me I was too young. At the time, I was really quite upset. But then later on, I understood what he meant. And then I didn't know it until Trish Stafford, Trish Hunt, Trish Love. I really didn't know that. I thought this was a black thing to tell you, that you had to go away and teach someplace else before you could teach at Lincoln.
If you were Lincoln grad, you couldn't just get your degree and then come back.
No, you had to go someplace else and get you some experience and you come back. Now, I thought this was just a black thing, but it was not. This was a thing in Chapel Hill, and the way I found out about it, I was out teaching everything. And I invited Judge Hunt to come to my class, speak to my kids. And so she was telling them, I never knew this, that she knew that I was the first, black or white, to come right out of school and get a job without going to the place there.
So where did you teach?
I taught at Lincoln.
So they hired you even though you didn't have experience elsewhere?
Yes. What happened is that I wanted to, well, I wasn't married when I finished high school, so I wanted to get to this my leadership. That I needed to go to basics, blah, blah, blah. But then one of the teachers, something happened, and I had to substitute work and in fact, they hired me for the rest of the year in the teacher's place. I decided then that I wasn't really sure I wanted to teach. I really
wanted
to. But these kids gave me a headache. I mean, they, you know, it's kind of bad. When you don't come in on the beginning of it, they already had their, this teacher had been there for a while. And so I decided, no, I don't want to teach. I'm going to get married. That's what I do. And but then the next year, I came.
So you left the teaching position?
Yeah, because I really wasn't hired as a full-time teacher. I was just filling in for this teacher that left. And so, but then in the next year, I came.
Can we revisit that and go back to when you were in high school?
Yeah.
And I would like to hear your opinion of your teachers and what school was like for you and your friends.
Love school. I mean, yes, I did. I just loved school. And there were some teachers that we thought were really hard, you know. Didn't put people like to be in that class, but found out later on they were the best teachers, you know.
Why did you like to be in their class? And
how long did it last? Because there were some things that, believe it or not, there was, I'm going to put, can I say, segregation among blacks, too. You know, people were chosen to do certain things because of what they looked like and that kind of stuff. I can only say, that there were, I'll just take a black girl. You either had to be light of complexion, your complexion usually had to be light, or you had to have long hair. Crazy, and that's the truth.
And those were the favored students? Were they favored by the teachers?
By the teachers.
What about by the other students? Were they the most popular or considered?
Sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't, because then there were a lot of kids who was in it. So it all depends on the personality of the person that did it.
So even within the black community, there was prejudice toward those who were fairer skinned and straighter of hair.
Okay. You could be my color with long hair and still be okay.
But if you were your color with short hair, if you were nappy hair, no good.
Well, it didn't even have to be nappy. Well, yeah. That's the way you were chosen. That's the way. And they were the ones that favorite, I see. And I guess that taught me something, too, because that was another reason I wanted to teach, is because I was always for those kids that tend not to have gotten attention. You know what I'm saying? Those other kids, the one I'm discussing with one, and also the prominent people in the town, too, that's what I was saying. And the parents were own their own business or something. It all depends on what kind of work they did. They were, some parents didn't want other kids playing with their kids because they were not good enough, you know, because of the wrong type of training, what they didn't want to call it. So, that went on.
So there was prejudice even within the black community.
Yes.
Was the long hair part of the fact that you may have been whiter because the white girls had long hair?
Yeah, well,
or am I putting words in your
mouth? No, you're not putting words in my mouth, but exactly, because the whiter you look, the better you work. What was that old saying? Life. Oh, I can't even remember that. Black stand back. I can't remember the words to it. Life. If you light, you're all right. Your brown stick around, your black stand back. I think that was what it was. I think that was the same.
I've heard that before. That's really so hard to sum.
And school was good, though. I mean, I really enjoyed school. And most of the kids enjoyed school. I mean, we really did.
What did Mr. McDougall do that made him what he was?
But see, what he was different things to different people, so I kept finding that hard to answer.
How was he to your friends? I understand that you and he had a great relationship and you respected him and maybe loved him. He was a model for you. Mm-hmm. But how was he to your friends?
Well, I thought it was all right to them because, and I think it was. I mean, you know, you just have some people that want to do what they want to do, and they don't want anybody to chastise them.
Was he an authoritarian?
Yes.
How?
I mean, and even when I worked for him, sometimes I would come in late, and he would, instead of me by being late. If he was coming down the hall, you have to know how you've been to such an office. I mean, you've been at it. And the hall is straight. But they have changed now. But there was some room that you